Tuesday afternoon, time to go over to the Madison Public Library and visit with Lydia Rebine. Good afternoon, Lydia.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's been really nice out.
Low humidity for the most part anyway, and no mosquitoes, mm-hmm. and gotta love summer.
Yeah, if only it was like this all summer, right?
Right.
We could handle that.
That's right. All right. Well, what's happening? Lydia and I are continuing our social distancing by over a block, right?
Yes. Yeah, so when you say coming to the Madison Library, we mean that very virtually.
Yeah. We're social distancing.
So. Yes, we've gone more than 6 feet, right, for sure.
Yeah, and we just want to encourage everyone to check out our podcast afterwards on KOQPFM.com, and you might be surprised with a picture, huh?
Yes, I think it's going to be really fun. We have to give Maynard kudos for that idea.
Yeah, he's very creative, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
All right, tell us what's happening at the Madison Public Library, Lydia.
Sure, Paul. Well, we're still offering curbside service. That's kind of one of our main things and has been for a while, where people can request items online or call and request items and then come and pick them up at curbside. So you can call the Madison, Dawson, or Canby libraries to place requests on items, or you can go online to pioneerland.lib.mn.us. and place your request there. All you need is your library card number. And then once you get a notification, be it by email, if you're set up with email notifications, or by phone, if you have your account set for phone notifications, we will call you when those items are ready to be picked up. I'm just going to highlight that part of it again, because we don't want you having to sit out in a hot car waiting for nothing. It's not an automatic thing. It, you know, doesn't like pop up every time somebody puts a request online. It may take us a while to see that request and then fill it, so definitely wait until you get either that email or that phone call saying it is ready for you, if you're placing things online. If you call us, of course, then we'll know about it right away. So if you do need something in a hurry, you know, you've just thought of it and you want to pop up in 5 minutes and get that item and we have it, then that's a good time to give us a call, because we'll know it's there, we'll walk over and pull it off the shelf from you and be ready to go. So we're doing curbside. Like I said, we check the items out to you over the phone. We bring them down and set them outside the door. We're also doing some in-person services now, easing our way back into that a little. We're offering limited computer use by appointment Monday through Friday. Again, it's strictly by appointment. We don't accept any walk-ins, and the appointments are in limited preset time slots that have been predetermined to work with our schedule for each library. If you're interested in setting up one of those appointments, though, just call us. It's best to call well ahead of time. And another note on that is that if you're 17 or under, you do have to be accompanied by a parent or a legal adult guardian. So that's computer use. We're also now offering some in-person browsing on a limited basis. For in-person browsing, there's a time limit of 15 minutes per person per day where you can come in and look at items. This is just for browsing of items. You can't then go over to the computer, you know, and cross those streams. It's just for browsing for items and checking them out. We have in each library a strict capacity limit that we have to follow because of COVID-19. That's different for each library depending on the size of the building. So, for instance, in Canby, it's a pretty limited number of people because they are a small space. Madison, it's a little larger, but still not a lot of people. So we have to adhere to that. So if you come by the library without an appointment, it's possible that you might have to wait outside for a little while until the other person's 15 minutes are up. If you want to avoid the possibility of having to wait, you can call and schedule a time, and we'll reserve that browsing time for you. Otherwise, if you do just come to the library in Dawson or Canby, you can just knock on the door, and a staff member will come to the door, and capacity allowing, we'll let you in Madison, because we are bigger and we can't really hear anything from the front door. We have installed a little doorbell that you can ring to let us know you're out there. And just like the computer appointments, anyone 17 and under must be accompanied by a parent or a legal adult guardian. So along those lines, coming into the library, of course, just like anywhere in Minnesota now indoors, you do need to wear a face mask or face covering in accordance with that Executive Order 2081. Anyone entering the library needs to wear a face covering, with the exception of children under the age of 5. Mm-hmm. For individuals unable to wear a mask due to medical reasons, we'll do our very best to accommodate them through our curbside service. So, yeah, we're slowly easing into offering a few more things at the libraries, trying to let people back in so they can do some in-person browsing, because that's always more interesting, looking for a book to be able to go through things and see what's there, especially with the new sections. So if you want to take advantage of any of those things and you want to call ahead, for instance, to schedule that computer appointment, or you want to schedule some browsing time and avoid the possibility of a wait, you just call the libraries. Madison, it's 320-598-7938, extension 1. Dawson is 320-769-2069, and Camby is 507-223-5738. Book recommendations?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I think we've got one from Bev and Camby and one from Diana and Dawson also this week. So that'll be fun. Spread the recommendations around a little.
Okay. All right.
Let's see. Let's start with Deb. Deb has been reading The Lonely Dead by April Henry. And this is a YA young adult thriller mystery. A killer is on the loose, and only one girl has the power to find him. But in this genre-bending YA thriller, she must first manage to avoid becoming a target herself. For Adele, the dead aren't really dead. She can see them and even talk to them, but she spent years denying her gift. When she encounters her ex-best friend Tori in a shallow grave in the woods and realizes that Tori is actually dead, that gift turns into a curse. Without an alibi, Adele becomes the prime suspect in Tori's murder. She must work with Tori's ghost to find the real killer. But what if the killer finds Adele first? Master mystery writer April Henry adds a chilling paranormal twist to this incredibly suspenseful young adult novel. I have been reading The Cold Vanish, Seeking the Missing in North America's Wildlands by John Billman. These are the stories that defy conventional logic, the proverbial vanished without a trace incidents, which happen a lot more and a lot closer to your backyard than almost anyone thinks. These are the missing whose situations are the hardest on loved ones left behind, the cases that are an embarrassment for park superintendents, rangers, and law enforcement charged with search and rescue, the ones that baffle the volunteers who comb the mountains, woods, and badlands. The stories that should give you pause every time you venture outdoors. And I don't know why I'm reading that, being a hiker, I guess just to give myself anxiety, but, you know.
Sounds like an interesting book, though.
It has been a very interesting book, mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, and Karen is reading Play Dead, Elsie Sandberg, Book 1, by Anne Frazier. No one understands the dark side of Savannah better than homicide detective Elsie Sandberg. As an infant, she was thought to be the daughter of a famous root doctor and was abandoned in an ancient low country cemetery. Growing up, she was haunted by her possible connection to the local Gullah culture with its spells and voodoo. Now, however, there's a twisted killer on the loose and the city is gripped by terror. Someone is using a substance that leaves its victims in a state that mimics death. Their bodies slip into an irreversible paralysis. Their minds remain fully, shockingly awake. Alice is reading His Majesty's Hope by Susan Elia McNeil.
Okay.
World War II has finally come home to Britain, but it takes more than nightly air raids to rattle intrepid spy and expert codebreaker Maggie Hope. After serving as a secret agent to protect Princess Elizabeth at Windsor Castle, Maggie is now an elite member of the Special Operations Executive, a black ops organization designed to aid the British effort abroad. And her first assignment sends her straight into Nazi-controlled Berlin, the very heart of the German war machine. Relying on her quick wit and keen instincts, Maggie infiltrates the highest level of Berlin society, gathering information to pass on to London headquarters. But the secrets she unveils will expose a darker, more dangerous side of the war and of her own past. And I didn't have that at the beginning, but this is part of a series that is Maggie Hope Book 3. Then, like I said, we have some recommendations from outside of Madison this time, which is fun. Bev in Canby is our first one, and she is reading The Lost and Found Bookshop by Susan Wiggs. In the wake of a shocking tragedy, Natalie Harper inherits her mother's charming but financially strapped bookshop in San Francisco. She also becomes caretaker for her ailing grandfather, Andrew, her only living relative, not counting her scoundrel father. But the gruff, deeply kind Andrew has begun displaying signs of decline. Natalie thinks it's best to move him to an assisted living facility to ensure the care he needs. There's only one problem. Grandpa Andrew owns the building and refuses to sell. After she moves into the small studio apartment above the shop, Natalie carries out her grandfather's request and hires contractor Peach Gallagher to do the necessary and ongoing repairs. His young daughter, Dorothy, also becomes a regular at the store, and she and Natalie begin reading together while Peach works. To Natalie's surprise, her sorrow begins to dissipate as her life becomes an unexpected journey of new connections, discoveries, and revelations, from unearthing artifacts hidden in the bookshop's walls to discovering the truth about her family, her future, and her own heart. And last but not least, Diana over in Dawson is reading The Final Deception, New York Confidential Book 5 by Heather Graham. It was one of Kieran's most chilling cases, her assessment of a murderer known as the Fireman. There was no doubt that the man needed to be locked away. Now Craig is called to a gruesome crime scene that matches the killer's methods, and news breaks that the Fireman has escaped prison. Amid a city manhunt, Kieran and Craig need to untangle a web of deceit, privilege, and greed. And when their investigation brings the danger right to the doorstep of Finnegan's Pub, Kieran and Craig will have to be smarter and bolder than ever before, because this time, it's personal, and they have everything to lose. So that is what the staff is reading in Madison, Dawson, and Canby. Isn't that fun?
Yeah, it is. A lot of information there. That's good.
And, seems like we've got a lot of mystery lovers.
I was just going to say that.
Mm-hmm. Just about all mysteries.
Yep. Once again, tell us if people have a question about the Madison Public Library, how can they get a hold of you, Lydia?
Sure. Well, actually, I'll run you through all of those phone numbers again. So you can just call the libraries. For Madison, it's 320-598-7938, extension 1. For Dawson, it's 320-769-2069. And for Canby, it's 507-223-5738.
All right. Thanks, Lydia. And we'll talk to you next time. Have a great rest of the day.
Yes, you too, Paul.
Lydia Rebine with the Madison Public Library.